a little bit of a button problem here, but I think I figured it out. Great. Thank you, guys. Hello, everybody. I am Craig Villarubia, and I'm so excited to be here. You know, first of all, a big shout out to everybody who manages this program, and thank you to Regina for inviting me. I came on this morning to test out the system, and I came into the room and I have not left. So I've been in this room since 9 o'clock in the morning. So you guys are obviously doing something really good, and I couldn't stop listening. So I've just been enjoying just being here and listening to everybody. So thank you everyone who puts this together, and thank you Regina for inviting me. My name is Craig Villarubia, and for some of you who may or may not know me, I've been a student of A Course in Miracles for many years, like many people in this room. I've been inspired to share my experience for the last few years. And in doing so, you know, I was listening to Regina talking about contemplation and inquiry. I find that as I share from the heart or share my own experience, there is this awareness that awakens and seems to grab hold of me in the deepest sense when I'm just watching or looking or contemplating all the thoughts that go through my mind, the stories that go through my mind, and the willingness to just watch it without judgment is really, I think, the core of A Course in Miracles, and really the core of what my aim is in this experience, is just to be here and allow and accept. So over the next three sessions, the next three Sundays, I'm excited about being here and doing nothing other than just being with you guys. And in that, perhaps there'll be words that come out of my mouth, typing that'll be done on the computer, and that's okay. That does not change or alter who and what I am. Yes, forgiveness looks and does nothing. It watches without judgment. And so here we are, watching without judgment. And our topic is heaven. And for much of my memory, I've often thought of heaven as something to perhaps achieve, to get to. And as many of you already know, the Course really puts out the question, why wait? Why wait? And certainly there's a paradox. There's a big old paradox, especially with the Course in Miracles, because there's certainly a lot of tools and principles within the Course, which I am forever or eternally grateful for. They help undo the mind's tendency to want to create the appearance of separation. And so you have this wonderful book, along with many paths, that help us kind of unwind or dissolve that. But at the same time, the Course is also saying that salvation is immediate. It is an instant. Heaven is here. In fact, A Course in Miracles, Jesus talks about heaven is you. He talks about the line from the Bible that says that the kingdom of heaven is within you, and he refines that and says, no, heaven is you. Salvation is in an instant. It is right now. So the question is, okay, so what is it right now? What is it right now? Heaven is you. It's right here. So what is here that is unalterable? And Regina also talked about God's voice speaks through me to me throughout the day. And I always thought this lesson, I love this lesson, because prior to an experience, I thought of God's voice always as something. But really, God's voice speaks to me all through the day isn't that there's an actual voice speaking in terms of how I think it should speak, but actually there is a voice, and the word voice being used because you can't really put a label on it, but there is a communication that is happening all through the day. And so if that is the case, then what is it that is with me all through the day? And so if we ask that question and we contemplate what is it that is here, we will eventually, if not immediately, recognize that there is an awareness of sorts that is always with us. In fact, I always think about, when I think back at my life, I always feel like what's within, if you will, or what is truly the you-ness, the real sense or the quality or the essence of what I am has never changed. It's been the same as long as I can remember. It has not aged. I think a lot of us come into this experience sometimes where we question or look at our age. You know, I'm 45 and I don't really know how that happened because it doesn't feel any different, really. The you-ness, the essence. When I say you-ness, I mean the you-y-o-u-ness, the essence within, not in terms of, name or occupation or anything like that, but the isness that is and has always been. And so when we talk about heaven, what we're really talking about is that. We're talking about the awareness of that, the experience of that, despite the changing forms, despite the thoughts, despite the storylines, despite everything that is showing up in the appearance. And so the teaching of forgiveness is a very practical and useful teaching because it pulls us back from the engagement with appearances or withdraws our investment in the appearances and allows us to operate from a place where we are aware, where we are simply watching without judgment. I love what Regina talked about in regards to attention. You know, I learned in a self-development course I'd taken a long time ago that the root word of attention is attendari, which is a Latin word, which means to stretch towards. So if I have my attention on something, I'm stretching towards it. I am bringing it to the forefront of perception. Oftentimes you may have this experience where, you know, for me, if you, for example, buy a brand new car, you know, I recently got a Mazda CX-5 and I'm really excited about the car. I've been, you know, did my research. It's the most fuel efficient. It is the car that was perfect for me. I had not really known much about this car, but I learned about it. And so I recently, bought this car and I was traveling in the mainland, and everywhere I would go, I'd see the car, the Mazda CX-5. Every corner I would see like a red one and a green one. All these Mazdas showed up because, I tell you, they weren't there 6 months ago. But they're there now. Now, what has changed? Well, my attention's on it. And so it appears in my experience. I've somehow selected that object, and so it's in my experience. My attention is on it. The attention, and attention is there's an energetic quality to attention. So if we just in the presence of what's unfolding right now, we would recognize that there's attention, perhaps on my voice, perhaps it's on the computer, perhaps it's on something completely different. You may be cooking or maybe not even hearing my words, but your attention's on something. And it has this energetic quality to it. And the interesting thing about this energetic quality is that it has limitations. In other words, you can only have your attention on a certain number of things. And we all know this, right? Because when we have our attention on multiple things, like I do right now, I'm like planning a retreat in February. I have the virtual conference coming up in October. I have another project that I'm collaborating with on the web. And I'm working full time, by the way. And so I have this to-do list, which is, you know, a whole page long with tons of different to-dos and dates that things to do. And so I can feel, you can feel when our attention is stretched, the exhaustion. So we know that energetically we're limited in our attention. In fact, when we stretch the limits of attention, we are stressed. You know, if you're driving in a car, you know, you may have the radio on, you have your hands on the steering wheel, perhaps you have somebody you're talking to, maybe you have a cigarette in hand, maybe you're drinking coffee. Now you pull out a phone to text, you're stretching your attention. We know that's dangerous. Everything seems to fall apart when we stretch our attention so far. And so what we're talking about is really, or what the aim is when we're talking about heaven, it's really withdrawing all of that outward, if you will, energy to what is unalterable, something that is aware of what's coming in and out of experience. And so the attention is, you know, I love what Regina was talking about, because when we start to see it, we can also start to inquire where our attention is being drawn into. Where is it going? What are we holding on to? And are we aware? We, you know, I believe awareness was brought up in the conversation, which is, are we aware of where our attention is being drawn into? Sometimes it feels like attention is drawn into something without our awareness. And that may be the experience, that our attention is drawn into something without awareness. So this is a training. A Course in Miracles provides a wonderful training to shine the light on where our mind is going and what it's placing attention to. And more importantly, whatever it is paying attention to, is it true? And I would argue that everything that attention is placed on is but appearance. I would argue that everything attention is placed on is to further define the experience of separation, or further define us as separate from the world. Who else would have attention but a person? So let's withdraw and step back and go back to what is unalterable, which is that which witnesses, we can say, or is aware. And in that, there's freedom. There's no attention. Attention itself is free. And that really is what heaven is freedom. It is free will in terms of allowing everything to be as it is. It is complete acceptance. Salvation being here in this moment as we're listening is complete acceptance of what is. So it must be, if I feel like I'm not in heaven, or if I feel like I'm in hell, which is what we feel like when we have the idea of ourselves as separate, and I'm questioning, you know, what is heaven? So I feel like I'm outside of heaven. However subtle, there is resistance to something appearing. There is a resistance to life. Heaven is complete acceptance of all that is appearing, so much so that there's no judgment about what is appearing. Being unconditional, we can say it is love. And so a lot of our attention is focused in on the things that define us as who we think we are as people. And Regina talked a lot about this when she talked about the thoughts of planning her day based upon others in relationship to her. And I think we can all relate to that. in different circumstances. I know for me, you know, having, you know, it at work or at my job, there is a lot of attention placed on what I say, what I don't say, what I ask for, what I don't express, what other people's intention are. And so all of that is occupying my attention, all being focused on to prove to me or to show me or give me an experience of separation. And so what I love about the Course is that it gives me tools and principles for which I can apply right now in any experience where I feel like I'm in hell, or if I feel like I'm not aware or in the experience of peace or of heaven. And one of those teachings is willingness. So in my example of my to-do list, which really feels like, if you've ever been to the circus and you see like all the plates spinning, you got the performer spinning all these plates and he keeps them going. And so my to-do list is like the plates spinning. And my objective is to not let one of those plates fall. So as long as my attention is on those plates, I'm not in heaven. I'm in hell. And the beautiful thing about salvation is that too can be looked at without judgment. And even in the experience of falling plates or even fearing falling plates, I can still, or it can still be brought to awareness where heaven lies. It's interesting because I can see so clearly, and we're all on this journey together, because as was shared before, this thought system is not a thought system, a personal thought system. It is simply the logistics to keeping the jig up, to keeping the world of separation in appearance. This ego is one thing, it's one program. And this one program, its aim is simply to keep this going, and so it'll come in any way it can. So even the idea that there's something wrong with being stressed out, or there's something wrong with fear appearing, or there's something wrong with judgment when it surfaces, there's something wrong with the ego, even that is the ego. That doesn't mean I'm advocating ego thoughts. It's not to be taken as an advocate for judgment. What I am saying, though, is forgiveness is total, which means it includes even what we think is wrong. Heaven is absolute. When we talk about heaven, or we talk about the atonement, it does not leave room for anything, including forgiveness. For even forgiveness has to be forgiven. And so, from that perspective, then this journey really is a gentle and easy journey. It takes no prisoners. It allows everything, which again brings us back to this idea of acceptance, of complete acceptance. Can I accept that I don't have a plan for what I'm going to talk about right now, or what the next sentence is going to be? Can I accept that I will disappoint somebody? Can I accept that I don't know? Can I accept what I think I am of myself, or what I, or the judgments that I have? Craig is not perfect. And one of the portals to heaven is complete acceptance of the imperfection of Craig. And I'm not just talking about his bad handwriting or his bad haircut. I'm talking about everything. The liar, the cheater, the pretender, the murderer. The sexual deviant. All of it. Can I accept that unconditionally, however it shows up in my experience, from myself or from the perceived appearance of another? Anything that contradicts or anything that is resisted in the world, can I accept that? Or can it be accepted? It's not even a question of, can I, Craig, accept it? It's more of, can the experience of acceptance be allowed? Can I step aside? And this is really hard to talk about because, again, there's a paradox here, because on one hand, it feels like there is something to do, but in reality, it's really the willingness, just the willingness to let go and allow that which is true to make itself known. And that which is true is heaven. And so we can say willingness is one of the portals in this experience for which we can reach heaven. And it's simply a willingness to be wrong about everything. The willingness to completely dissolve to the moment. Can I dissolve to this in this experience of that's unfolding? Can I dissolve in my sharing? Can I dissolve in the space between the words? Can I dissolve with the words? Can I allow that which is unchanged, unalterable, to be the predominant experience? Can I let it in? When I say or when I think of resistance, it's really a closing out of or closing off to the definitionlessness, the definitionlessness of awareness. The moment I close out, my attention is gone somewhere. In other words, the moment I think in terms of form, or as the moment I believe I'm something or somebody, I've closed myself off to the definitionlessness of awareness. And the awakening to heaven isn't difficult. We are told all over and over in the Course and in many teachings that this is a simple teaching. Awakening really is as simple, metaphorically speaking, as waking up in the morning. Now, granted, some of us do not like waking up in the morning. That is true. I get it. But the act of waking up, the awakening process, or the happening of awakening, isn't effort you put forth. Yes, I know the alarm goes off. I know the alarm goes off. So you think, oh, but that woke me up. But the act of awakening itself wasn't something that you had to work on, even if it was the alarm that went off. There's something that has become aware, and that's not true either. It's not something that's become aware. Awareness has made itself known in this experience. And so we wake up. All the work is in staying sleeping. Yes, that is so true. And yes, definitionless awareness is a definition. And that's the challenge and the paradox. You know, the ego, which is really, all intellectual understanding is going to be of the ego. So there is, and words are part of that. And so there will never be the right words, but there's an essence of definitionlessness that we can kind of experience. So that's as close as possibly we can get for me to get to that, to really what's being pointed to. And yet that's also the fun of this. If this isn't fun, why aren't we doing this, right? The fun of A Course in Miracles is it gives us all these words and symbols to play with. Although I don't even think A Course in Miracles uses the word definitionlessness, but it certainly has another one, many more. But the ego isn't going to be able to understand it. In fact, the Course says it is hard to understand what the kingdom of heaven within you really means. This is because it's not understandable to the ego, which interprets it as if something is outside and inside. And this does not mean anything. It doesn't mean anything because the idea of outside and inside is inferring a location. And heaven isn't in a location. It really is this. It is simply this, where nothing is happening and simultaneously appearance is happening. Heaven is not something to be gotten, so any attempt to try to find it or get it is not it. That's not to say that in our desire for it that we won't get it, because we will get it. But the seeking itself, when it is in play, is the block to the awareness of heaven and where it is, which is right now. In all of you is heaven. In all of you is heaven. Now, we've heard people talk about us being all one. What did that really mean, all one? You know, what does that mean, we're all one? Now, I'm sure a lot of people have a lot of answers for that, and that's okay. Everybody's right. But it's helpful for me to think of it in terms of one shared mind dreaming everything up. So in other words, we're all one in truth, which means we're all one in this all unaltered awareness. This definitionlessness is something we all share. Even if you're not aware of it, which I doubt that highly, only because this is a room filled with people who have a desire to know this definitionlessness that I speak of, who desire to know themselves as extensions of God. Well, I keep saying definitionless awareness. I keep talking about this definitionless. Let's for a moment talk about the Son of God. It's the same thing. Son of God being a symbol, metaphor, for extension of Source. Now, if Source is Source of all things, then Source permeates all things and everything, including me, this idea of myself, this idea of you, this idea of this computer in front of me. All of it arises in a shared mind, in a shared beingness, if you will. So yes, we're all one. But it's not something that is something, well, it is something pretty, I suppose, to hear and to say, and it certainly feels good when we say, you know, we're all one. But that is very literal, and there's an experience that underlies that idea that we're all one. And when we think about it, if we think about everything really being connected and really arising as this one thing, and it's not a thing, get in trouble with words again, but I guess for me it's helpful to think of it as there's one movement. In other words, here I am, and I happen to be moving my hands, because sometimes I can be expressive and I move my hands. My hand is not moving independent from the universe. Even as my hand moves, we know scientifically that everything else is moving as well. And so all things, the universe, the stars, the fish in the ocean, everything, there's no There's no thing not moving. All of it is one collaboration. Now here's the kicker though. I'm not just talking about form. I'm not just talking about things. It includes thoughts. It's kind of cool when we think about this. So all things are moving in one movement. That includes all thought. Nothing operates independent. And the wholeness of all of it is willed by God. We talked about the script is written. I've heard that come up a few times. This is really what we're talking about. The script is written is not to say that your story is written. The script is written to say that all things are moving as one and a trajectory as one. Everything. It's like dominoes, for example. You line up dominoes, and perhaps you have a fancy lineup. You have dominoes climbing up, climbing down, thousands. I used to watch a show called That's Incredible, if anybody grew up in the 80s. That's Incredible. They used to have all these incredible acts. And so one of the acts that they would have is dominoes, you know, world record, 50,000 dominoes. And that first domino was pushed over, and from that, everything just fell. Everything went down. Now, when you get to domino 999, which is going to topple domino 1000, and then 1000 is going to topple 1001, and so on and so on. If we place attention on domino 999, then we can assume, because of appearance, that domino 99 is the cause of domino 1000 to fall. And that's a true statement from the perspective of just looking at domino 999. But from the wider perspective, some could argue that the cause was actually the first domino. And so, why is that brought up, or why is that metaphor? Well, because I think it gives us the scope and understanding when we talk about whether it's the script is written or we talk about everything's God's will, what we're really basically saying is that everything is in motion. A sea of synchronicity, thank you, yes. An ocean of love. It is all of it is in motion. And all of it, and the Course says this over and over, yeah, and the Course says this over and over, that there is no cause out there. We can also say that, you know, if we take that metaphor, we can even go deeper with it and say, okay, basically God's will is this collaboration. It is really creation. You know what? I remember I used to read the Course, and there was this real longing and desire to understand what the difference is between creation and make. Well, we can say that make is basically the storytelling, or the attention that we place on our stories, or where the attention goes. We can say the attention is going into making more stories of me. Making more stories of what need to be done. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. That too is part of the dominoes falling. That too is part of the orchestration. So there's nothing wrong with that. But when the awareness comes into mind, as it does when we are practicing this and our desire is strong, we realize that really everything is in divine order, and that grace is in charge and has always been in charge. And with that, there's this deep acceptance of what is, regardless of what is, and there's peace in that, because I'm now no longer trying to defend against God by making something out of nothing. He did this to me. I'm upset because of this. This went wrong. I don't look as good as I want to. I'm going gray in places I don't want to go gray, etc. So everything is willed by God, which, guess what, makes that easy for me, because that means I do not need to do nothing. I don't need to do anything. Yeah, even dreaming in that sense, which is why awakenings are short. Thank you for sharing. Nothing happens except by the grace of God. Nothing happens except by the grace of God. That's relief. That's heaven. That recognition. It's not something that is known by a person that I'm not talking about the intellectual acknowledgement that God is in charge. I'm talking about being swallowed up by that experience. In which case, everything is allowed. And so, the willingness, again, to be wrong about everything, really is a dismantling, if you will, or a de-energizing. I don't even know if that's a word, but I'm trying to come up with a word. A de-energizing of this ego. The dismantling of this ego. It's a constant relinquishment of what I believe I know or think I know. I love the Course. You know, I could not understand. I have to be honest. I was so frustrated with the Course for many years because I used to take to heart exactly what the Course was saying, which is, you know, step back and ask the Holy Spirit. Step back and let the Holy Spirit decide for you. Step back and consult the Holy Spirit. It was always a process of stepping back. Jeez! Okay, I'm stepping back. I still don't see a difference. Stepping back, I still don't see a difference. I'm stepping back. What the hell? Well, what I've come to experience is that the repetition of stepping back was really a means of breaking down the habitual attention that was kept in the world, or the attention that's kept on Craig. Step back enough and you will fall off the cliff, exactly. And so now I laugh and I think of the humor because it's so clever. Because I think if the Course would have just said that if the Course said, you know, look, I'm gonna ask you to, every time you're gonna make a decision, I'm gonna ask you to step back, and every time that you are upset, I'm gonna ask you to step back. And the reason why I'm gonna ask you to step back is because I want to train you to dissolve this idea of yourself as a person actually doing something, as if you actually could do something. If the Course said that, we would read that and we would have an intellectual understanding of that, and we say, oh, check it off the list. And we know that now. But no, the Course is not saying that. The Course is saying go to the Holy Spirit. And so really what it's doing, it's bringing in about an experience of really what that means to step back. It is so constant. This is not to be underestimated. This is not, this is really, when I talked about the atonement being total, this really is total. Can we imagine simply not have to worry about anything, because truly we trust in that nothingness for which everything arises and simply abide in that and just let it be. Wow. I wouldn't have to have a huge to-do list, perhaps. That's not true, actually. This is not about behavior, and it's not about things that inform. You know, I went last week. I'm talking about it. It's in mind right now. Last week, I went through a whole, you know, kind of dialogue in my mind about whether or not I should have a to-do list, because I thought, oh, that's not spiritual. That's not very spontaneous. But yet, those thoughts too were judgment and ideas of separation. So I have a to-do list so that can be in my awareness, and that's okay. I can still watch without judgment. And this is not about behavior, but the point that I was trying to get to is now lost. And that's okay too. Can I be with that? Can I be with being lost? Whatever that is. But yes, things get written on the list spontaneously. Yes, absolutely. Everything is spontaneous. The question is, are we aware of life's spontaneity? We're so convinced that we're in charge that we kind of put ourselves in our own straitjacket buying that belief. And again, that's okay too, because that too is grace's will. And therein lies the paradox. And the paradox is fully accepted, just as we started this conversation, heaven really just being, heaven being an experience of full acceptance. All of it. Everything. In each moment, just full acceptance of whatever is. And we don't have to piece out whatever is. So it's not, I'm not saying full acceptance of a certain circumstance. It's not full acceptance of the weather. It's, yes, it is that, but it's more than that. It's the acceptance, it's the acceptance of the sinking into that which is unalterable. That which is the same always, that which precedes. And I don't know what that is. That's the irony. Don't know what that is in the sense that I can't really talk about it. But it's there, and it's there for all of us. You know, the Course talks about stabilization of perception. It talks about perception and it talks about knowledge. If at any point we have an experience simply of this awareness, then a portal has been opened up. This complete acceptance, this complete presence is the holy instant. The gap, if you will. It's not really a gap, but it appears like a gap. The holy instant appears like a gap between two thoughts, or as the Course would say, is framed by time. But this is an invitation to that. There's no question about what the next moment's going to bring. There's no question about whether or not any of this makes sense. There's the witnessing, perhaps, of those thoughts. But those thoughts are not lived as me. That's important for me, or that is a, for me, a huge opening, because for such a long time, I felt or thought that this process was about controlling my thoughts, and not having some and not having others. And certainly that is in the awareness of thoughts is very important, so that we can discern between the thoughts that make us feel good, and they can certainly guide us as we're willing to be led. But at a certain point, we also then realize that, oh, wait, like I can't do anything about these thoughts, some of these thoughts that come up, because I don't even know where they're coming from. They're so impersonal. Really, the ego is impersonal. It feels so personal. But the indication that it's impersonal is that when you're really present,
even in this moment, if you just stop and ask, you know, what will be my next thought? And it'll come. It'll come. And when that thought comes, where did it come from? Now, someone may say, well, that thought came from me. Well, where is that? Can you control your thoughts? Now, many people will say, yes, I control my thoughts. Really? So if I said something like, don't think of a pink elephant, you cannot think of a pink elephant? If we really can control our thoughts, then wouldn't we just have happy thoughts all the time? So as we start to look at that, for me, then there's actually forgiveness that's welcomed as I recognize that, wait, you know, in reality, these thoughts are part of that domino effect. Everything is. It goes back to the analogy of everything is one movement. And so these thoughts are impersonal because I'm not a person. All of this is God's will. Everything's happening spontaneously of itself. The Course is telling me I'm not guilty, which makes sense because I'm not guilty because these are not my thoughts. In fact, the Course says these are not your thoughts. The thoughts you think are not yours. Now everything is starting to make sense. Ah, there's freedom in that. I don't have to control my thoughts. I don't have to manage myself. I don't have to do any... Oh, there we go again with the lesson. I need do nothing from A Course in Miracles. It's being done. It's done already. But therein lies the paradox, because we all here together, and these ideas are very much sparkly in the mind. I've been listening all morning, so I got a lot of sparkly going on in the mind. Yet the paradox is there's still something to do. You know, after I get off this call, I'm going to go chop some wood. Literally, I'm going to chop wood, yes. I'm going to cut some koa trees down. We have a mill here at the ranch. I'm talking to you from Hawaii, and we'll be milling some wood. And so the impersonal thought stream will continue, and I will continue to do whatever is going to be done, but heaven doesn't change. The unalterable doesn't change. And so, as I'm drawn into the thoughts of the ego, or as I'm drawn into the way of the world, when my thoughts or the attention is drawn in to that, I will remember, or be reminded, not even through my effort, but simply through the grace of God, I'll be reminded of the principles that we speak of so heavily because we want it ingrained in our minds to remember to watch without judgment, to remember to give all those thoughts over to the Holy Spirit, to remember to be willing to be wrong. When we are willing and accepting and we are humble, when we die, really, we die to the idea of what we thought we were, we let that die with the willingness to die, not the want to die, because nobody wants to die. And death isn't real, but the belief in death is fatal. But simply the willingness is a test of our conviction in who and what we are in truth. And that's not really a test. But certainly as the conviction is built, then, you know, I think the Course does say somewhere that the last fear is to be dissolved is the fear of death. The way willingness to die. And this has nothing to do with physical death. It's really the death of our idea of ourselves. Can I be embarrassed? Can I feel what it feels like to be embarrassed without fighting that? Can I feel what it feels like to be in a breakup or a divorce? Can I feel that with complete acceptance? Someone said earlier that, I believe someone said earlier, and I apologize, I don't remember who said it, but I think it was on one of the shows, that we're afraid to feel, or someone was extending the invitation to feel. And I think what we can say is really we're afraid to feel what we think is going to happen. And so this idea of, you know, am I willing to die, including being embarrassed, when we think about that, it's like the fear of embarrassment is really the fear of feeling something other than your controlled idea of what you think you are, right? So when I'm embarrassed, when I make a mistake, or if I trip in the sidewalk, and so I pretend I'm running along as if it was normal, I try to cover it up. Well, I'm covering up the idea of myself that I'm not in control. I'm covering up. I don't want anyone to be misled of who I am, because, you know, there's the unconscious, this unconscious, you know, habit to maintain this idea of who we are. But really, to feel everything is to lose yourself in everything. And this is what we're talking about. This is heaven. This is love. To lose yourself in everything. That is death. It's death to all the ideas I have of myself. Because what I am in truth is not conceptual. So I have to be willing to feel everything, go into everything. The reason why we don't want to tell the truth when we know we should is because we don't want to feel like we've done something wrong. And what I'm saying is our liberation, if you will, is in feeling like we did something wrong, if that is what is appearing. And in the experience of feeling like we did something wrong, in the appearance that we did something wrong, we can watch it without judgment to come out on the other side and recognize there was nothing to fear in the first place. So feel. Walk into it unconditionally. That doesn't mean we have to force ourselves into anything we don't want to do. Doesn't mean we need to even do anything. It's just an invitation that when we are in an experience that we are resisting or don't want to feel, when we're in that experience, if in your awareness comes the idea not to resist, I invite you not to resist and go with it. Fully go with it, with enjoyment. You know, if we feel, we don't want to feel what it feels like to be a liar, let's feel what it feels like to be a liar in all of its excitement. What does it feel to enjoy being a liar? I'm not encouraging anybody to lie. I'm encouraging all of us to step into what we believe is our vulnerability, only to discover our invulnerability in everything. When I was at a restaurant recently, I saw something, and this has been a practice of mine, is, you know, I tend to be a picky eater. And there's nothing wrong with a picky eater, but that seems to be the habit of Craig's. And so he doesn't like many things. And so one of the things I do is
or I've done recently is, you know, in the experience, what was I eating? This will give more graphic detail. I want to say it was sushi, but I'm not too sure. It was something kind of what I would consider kind of gross. And so the question, you know, there was this resistance to eating it, but there was really an experience that I was anticipating that I was afraid of. So whatever that was made up in my mind, that experience. I love Thai food, by the way. No, it wasn't Thai food. I love Thai food. I think it was Japanese, and I believe it was something fishy and something that I pretty much wouldn't eat, and I was afraid to eat it because of the texture and so forth. But the willingness, remember I said that the portal is willingness to be wrong. And I'm not going to, this is not like a, I'm not going to lie to anybody and say that afterwards there was this, you know, incredible experience of now all of a sudden I enjoy eating gnarly seafood or whatever. It's basically this, simply to say though, the willingness to go into the experience of what that was when I ate it, to feel without thought or judgment, to just feel what the textures were in the mouth, the flavor, how quickly I swallowed after chewing it, the whole, just to allow the feeling to be, allow experience to be what it's to be. And the miracle, if you will, isn't that on the other side I was thinking, oh great, I want to order this again. The miracle is simply the awareness that I was untouched. There was something of me, or something of God, or something who I am was unaltered by whatever that experience was. That is the mirror. Experience of suffering and fear. It's not that we tend to think that the details and the physical form needs to be a certain way, but it's not really that. What we want more than anything in the experience of suffering is to know we are okay. We would give anything to be okay in the midst of our suffering. And so to recognize that even in this experience that I so deeply resisted because I did not like it, we can go through it and recognize the okayness and the patience through it, and the, you know, you want to know what living is, that is living, to be in experience. And we are okay in all of it. We're more than okay, but okay is a stepping stone for us at times when we are in our deepest pain or deepest fear. But yes, this okayness, which is the same as your you-ness, which is the same as the unalterable, which is the same as Son of God, extension of Source, that which we are in truth, which is nothing that all those words are, but what we are in truth, is okay. And as that becomes more and more where we abide, then our conviction and perception gets stronger and stronger, and it is not even a personal perception. It's not, there's no personal claim on what's seen. It really is that which we all share is seen. So we equally share in the opportunity to see what is true, which is that in each and every moment, what we are is unalterable and that we are okay. This is heaven. And with that, I just want to say I love you so much, and I'm so grateful for this experience. And I look forward to whomever joins me next week as we continue our dialogue on heaven. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Regina. Thank you, Lynn, and everybody who's joined. I love you so much.
Thank you so much, Craig Villarubia. And as I did post on the board, and those of you who may be listening on the radio, this particular mini-series is supported by donations from you. And so any donations that come in that are for this particular mini-series go directly directly to the speaker. They are not Awakening Together doesn't take any part of the money, and it just goes directly to the speaker. So we can't really pay people to come and do these, but if people are willing to donate it, it makes a wonderful gift. So and if you feel maybe that you would be interested in donating, please go to www.awakening-together.org and click on the donation button, and it will bring up the donation for the special mini-series. So thank you again, Craig Villarubia.